Hey folks, John Papagiorgio of Papa's Basement here. I apologize for the recent dearth of new shows. It's been a little hectic. There's been a ton of snow in the DC area, and I typically record out of a public access station that closes, I believe, along with the government closing schedule, and it's been closed more than it's been open the past 2 weeks, so it's been a little hard getting in there. Not to mention my new co-host, Othello, is currently in Morocco for 3 weeks. That is not a euphemism for anything. He is actually in Africa until, I guess, the start or middle of March, something like that. Anyhow, before he left, Othello and I recorded a two-hour episode. A lot of you are hearing this episode in a one-hour format, so the second half of it you missed out on when you heard the first half last week. I recorded this intro so that I could explain why you're just jumping into the what sounds like the middle of an episode. It is actually the second half of last week's episode because, again, thanks to the snow and Othello being out of the country, haven't had a chance to record this week. Hope you enjoy what you hear, and hopefully by next week at least the weather will clear up and I'll be able to march into studio with someone and record something. Until then, enjoy this crap you haven't heard yet.
I mean, watch, dude. Next time you see a funny line, search for it, and you'll see either the original place where they got it from, or a hundred other people who are like trying to take credit for the line. Yeah, it's crazy.
God, the internet just lets us be the crap we really are.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That is the ultimate litmus test. It's like, if I give you godlike powers, what will you do with them? And you know what the answer is? Rip off people and try to cheat on your chick.
Yeah, yeah. and film fights. Yeah. To try to have them go viral on YouTube. Yeah, or World Star. Yeah. That's all it is. Everybody, I mean, it's the obsession.
And the only good we can embrace is the easiest, most childlike, like seeing a picture of a happy puppy or a kitten.
Yeah.
That's the only positive.
Yeah, man, that's true. That's true. The majority of stories are pretty negative. I saw a news article about The Rock this week, and it was just a 10-second Instagram video of him pulling over his truck because some kids were calling to him while he was driving and giving them a hug. And it was like, oh, The Rock is such a nice dude, such a good dude. And I was like, that is probably the nicest story I've read in 2.5 weeks online.
You're right. There's that. And no one – here's the worst part. I don't think anyone walks away from that, watching that, and does much nice. Yeah. No one is inspired because they're like, well, The Rock.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got it under control.
But like, you can watch porn and walk out and certainly like objectify women to the nth degree. Like, I feel the negatives of the internet carry with you into real life much more than the positives ever do. And there's not a lot of positives to begin with. Like, again, getting back to just seeing cute videos of crap. Like, what are you learning when you see, like, oh, that puppy likes its belly rubbed? What are you going to do? Like, had you walked across a puppy rolling on its back, were you going to kick it in the ribs?
Yeah.
If you hadn't seen that video? No, you'd still pet it one way or the other. But I feel like you can get into, like, internet trolling and become, like, a real piece of crap.
Oh, yeah. The one thing is, the positive that I think the majority of people think that they are taking away is that they're, you know, regularly educating themselves on matters that they would have no interest in otherwise. Like, a lot of people are self-appointed legal experts because they read a BuzzFeed article about what you should do when a cop pulls you over or something like that. And that is the most infuriating thing in the world to me because it's so much more complicated than just reading a BuzzFeed article and demanding that a cop shows you 3 forms of ID when he pulls you over. But
yeah, like no one's ever thought of that before.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend one time who got searched for pot, and the cop straight up lied and said my friend consented. And it's like, why would my friend who is carrying a half ounce say sure?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And the judge still doesn't care.
Right, exactly.
Like, we were able to kind of get my friend out of trouble because he was with me and another friend, and we were both like, yes, nothing to that effect was said. Our friend is not mentally retarded.
Right, yeah. I think I told you about this last week. There's that UFC fighter, I think his name is Dave Herman.
Okay.
And this video...
Isn't that the name of a pedophile DJ?
Probably, yeah.
Let me look that up while you're talking.
Sounds like
it. Give me 1 second.
But he got pulled over with his girlfriend and his their baby. Oh yeah. What song is that? Is it the
Oh God, Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Part 2. There's another pedophile. Sorry.
Good song though. Smash hit.
Google Dave Herman pedophile. The second link. Jewish pedophile Dave Herman dies in. Why is the fact he's Jewish? So we don't have to think about the kid kissing a foreskin?
Well, at least we know now, man.
Yeah, exactly. So now.
Oh, yeah, the guy from SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Dude, that was insane. That story was crazy. This MMA fighter changed his name. But
okay, what's the MMA? I'm so sorry.
He got pulled over and like was demanding all these things from the cops, and they were like, dude, just got out of his car, and they were like, turn around, and he was like, you needed to show me, blah, blah, blah. And they were like,
three-fourths of ID, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, and they're like, turn around. They're demanding. They turns around. Obviously, he doesn't do anything because he's a super tough UFC fighter, and he knows the law because he read about something on Reddit online, and they freaking tase the crap out of him, man. It's like he falls to the ground. His girlfriend's screaming in the car and stuff, and there's a baby. And the only reason he had the confidence to get out of the car and – make all these demands is because he read about something online.
Internet wisdom.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. And it's creating all these issues, man. Like, dude, everybody thinks they're an expert.
We have a mutual friend who listens to the show. Hi, Zach. And
what's up, Zach?
Yeah, we're chilling over this weekend, and he shows me like the exact card that was posted on Reddit that you're supposed to read off if a cop pulls you over and is trying to search your car for drugs. And it's like, I'm exercising my Fifth Amendment right for this and my Fourth Amendment right for this. And I'm like, that's going to be awesome when he takes it out of your hands and pisses on it and then busts in your window and takes the weed.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I mean, it there's so much more than that. And
I've been searched before, like, for drugs. Mm-hmm. They do whatever they want. And this is why people are like, you hate the cops? It's like, dude, I don't hate anyone who's like, doing murder investigations, you know, like homicide detectives, and they're doing the Lord's work. Just the ass who's harassing a guy that was driving five over. I had what, like, the guy's shining a light in my car one time, and there was a bit of like dirt, nothing that resembled marijuana on my seat.
What you got over there, huh?
Yeah, he's like, I see a bit of marijuana. I'm like, no, you don't. And he's like, you can either let me search the car or I'll bring the canine unit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I had a friend who was like,
farted.
Exactly. I hope dog likes beefaroni because it's in my cushion.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. The worst experience I had was 6 in the morning driving to the gym because I thought that I was, you know.
Mm-hmm. You had that motivated week that we all have at age 24.
I freaking was in the left lane, and it was like, veering into an HOV lane, and the cop whoop pulls me over and treats me like I just kidnapped his grandma's house as I'm talking to him about how I made a mistake because I was in the HOV lane at 6 a.m. when there was literally like nobody else on the road.
Oh yeah.
And I went away from that like, dude, like that, I was so nice to the guy. There was no reason for him to treat me like
that.
They can
be so combative. And it's like, sometimes they're cool. Like one time I had a cop pull me over. And he was like, you did this and you did this. And I lied and I had thrown my GPS up and I just said, like, I'm a locksmith. I'm driving to a customer's house to let them in. And he just smiles and he's like, you thought you were going to get a ticket today. And he just like taps the car and like waves me on my merry way. And then other times, you get handled like they know you're running guns for ISIS.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the luck of the draw. Like, you're going to go to some McDonald's. And the cashier is going to be a jerk to you, and you're going to go to a Wendy's and they're going to be cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I thought you were going to say some will give you hepatitis, others will give you the flu. It's all random.
No, but like the whole idea of treating all cops like they're all jerks, and it just doesn't make any sense.
No, treating any group. This is what you should walk away. If you remember one thing from this episode, well, if you remember two things, the second one is like, look up those milking videos on YouTube.
Dude, yeah.
But
DIY breastfeeding.
Yes. Hand expression. That is the important thing. Otherwise, you get a bunch of back of babies' heads. But no group should be generalized, ever.
Yeah.
No group. You don't generalize black people. You don't generalize the gays.
Except for Jews.
Generalize. Oh, God, yeah. And their inability to get me a job in entertainment or keep me out of it, depending on the view. Don't generalize. Again, cops. Just no profession. Don't generalize athletes.
Are we preaching right now? I think we're getting kind of preachy.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, a little bit.
We are. That was your nugget of truth, man.
Yeah. No, but...
If I had any sort of income, whatever just came out of our mouth, we'd, like, put on a t-shirt. But I don't, so you're saying.
I don't know how we got down... We got to this, but...
Well, I think you have to put in, like, some bit of any sort of social worth
after
the first hour and change of what came out of our mouth.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's
just generalization.
I'm trying to think...
Our dumb human brain wants to do it, and it doesn't work. It never works, man.
Who doesn't want to generalize?
We always want to generalize.
Yeah.
And unless you are very conscious. There we go. Yeah.
You have a conscience.
Yeah. Unless you're very conscious of it, your brain, like, just gets lazy, and it stops thinking, because it's like, well, all of X is like Y.
Right.
All of, you know.
Well, every experience you have that's like X... will reinforce the underlying belief in your mind that everybody from that group is just like X.
And it just goes back to our dumb little caveman brains.
Yeah, that's true.
Where, like, one time you go in the valley and a saber-toothed tiger comes out. Yeah, and you almost get eaten.
Yeah, man.
You're gonna
stay away.
You're going to tell everyone, do not go in that valley. It's a death trap.
That's true.
99 out of 100 times you could go there, and it's nothing. It's just woolly mammoths that you can, like, use as fleshlights, their trunks or whatever. It's a great time. You can eat pineapples right off the tree. But that one time the saber-tooth almost got you. And you're like, that's it. It's death all the time. All day, every day.
Yeah, dude.
That is Death Valley over there.
That's true. We are pretty stupid when it comes down to it.
We are, man. Our brain just cannot keep pace with, like, the changes that modern life... We don't encounter, at least in America, we don't encounter death that often anymore. And yet we still have their dumb little fearful brains.
Yeah.
Whereas we'd have a much better life if you just realized objectively, like, not a lot can go wrong, especially in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Like, short of a dude getting drunk and running me over, there's not a lot of, like, random death out here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the fact that every news station highlights the amount of deaths in you know, neighboring cities, and every story you pull up on world news.
Sorry.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Is death related makes people, like, you know, freak out. Think that women are obsessed with watching, like, Forensic Files and stories about how somebody escaped a psycho boyfriend.
Have you ever had sex with a woman that wasn't obsessed with Law and Order SVU? And the answer is no, or you're a liar.
Okay. Well, you just answered for me, I guess.
They love it. And you're absolutely... They just live... I don't know. I kind of feel for them, though, because they have so much more to honestly fear...
Dude,
than we do.
Law and Order is vanilla compared to what else is out
there.
Well,
that's
true. Now. Like, they have legit stories about how some girl was in a basement for 3 years and all that type of stuff. Like
the Cleveland guy.
Oh yeah, well that guy. They were there for like what?
Oh, it was like 10 years.
Now. Yeah, but women love those shows, dude. I think it's because
There's a pretty famous proverb about this, and it's like, men are afraid of women because they're afraid of being made fun of. Women are afraid of men because they're afraid of being killed.
Oh, like, that's deep. Jesus.
I butchered it. But
do you agree with that? I mean,
what can a woman, short of like a real psychopath who gives you the George Costanza treatment and like pretends she's going to handcuff you and bang you and then just like handcuffs you and murders you instead? Like, men fear striking out with girls. They fear, like, being made fun of, again, like the saying goes, but it's just ego bruising.
Yeah.
Women live in actual fear of, like, this guy's nice. I hope he's not going to rape and kill me if, like, I invite him back. Like,
that's true.
I remember one time.
I shouldn't be laughing at that, but it's absolutely true.
No, I pulled a chick off MySpace.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good old times. And, you know, I'm a locksmith. I'm a manual laborer. So we're going out, we're driving to a bar, and I just had, like, a hammer in my front seat because I had hammered something earlier in the day. I work with my hands like the peasant I am. And she was like, why do you have a hammer in your front seat? And immediately I'm like, oh, she must think I beat and, like, rape unconscious women.
For hammering things.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you, no matter what you say, she's still going to think you're going
to. Well, I decided to take the tension out of the air by making a joke, acknowledging the elephant in the room and saying like, oh, that's what I use to like cave chicks' skulls in. And somehow it worked, by the way.
Oh, nice.
It got crickets, but I did raw dog her the night after.
Very well, very so, good. Man.
Yeah, yeah. That was a bit of
done.
That was a little acrobatic on my part. Man. Not your boy at game.
Yeah,
she's also
that's
nuts,
true.
But.
Like, they walk the streets fearing for their lives, which yes. has to suck, you know? They walk around with mace or whatever, and guys just
and their
don't
stupid
want...
little whistle. Yeah. Like, can you imagine an actual rape whistle doing anything? If I were a rapist, I would be like, knock that off. I am going soft.
It's really annoying.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to just get done here.
I mean, girls should just carry around, like, mace and stun guns with them at all times.
Yeah, but, like, be trained in how to use them and, like, not just get it knocked out of your hand
right.
1 second in.
Because most, I mean, I'd say, I know a couple females who have mace, like, in their purse. And
yeah.
every single one of them, I've asked them, like, have you used it before? And they're like, no, I've never. And I'm like, well, how do you know, like... What
if
the spray
like
is gonna be like?
Pin,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guarantee you, some chick is like getting assaulted, pulls it out, and like the old joke of putting binaca in your eyes, she just maces herself.
Oh God, yeah.
And then the guy's like, "Ew, I don't want to rape some snotty broad," and just walks away. So maybe it did work for the best. I don't know.
Yeah, and guys just walk the streets, fearing that their feelings may get hurt.
Yeah, is that we have it real tough.
Yeah, no, dude.
Like, oh, that 10 that I took a crack at, she didn't blow me on the spot. Yeah, boo hoo hoo. I have to whack it to porn now.
Yeah.
Well, that got dark.
I know, right?
Darker.
What's wrong with us tonight? It's probably because we didn't dim the lights a little bit.
Yeah,
it's my
we
fault.
Did. It's like a evil Asian Jack Shack in here now.
You always take it there, man. It's always got to be some sort of like. Masturbation related
yeah you
slash
that
foreign there is them I told you about that massage parlor that's like
there's apparently a lot of them near the
two
studio.
Doors down
no I had a buddy who I told him where the studio was and I guess he was deep in the yellow chicks jacking him off game,
right
and he was immediately like oh yeah there's a parlor here and here Jeez. And I'm like well good for you I guess
yeah I was walking like I was walking across the door and I saw the like Christmas lights, you know, and the
oh, is that a thing?
Massage, well, you know, like cheap lighting and,
okay.
and the sign that literally all it says is like massage therapy.
So it looks like a kid's dorm room, you're saying.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, this is definitely and as I'm walking up I see like this fat bald white guy in the front and I'm like, okay, this is not what I thought it was because unless he
is
works
that
there.
Is that a sign that there's definitely like a bouncer?
Well, no, I think in, like, Asian massage parlors, it's only Asian people work there. Like, only...
But what if a guy gets out of line? Like, do they all know Kung Fu?
Wait.
Like a 70s blaxploitation movie?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. They have to have
I don't
know.
I've never done an Asian jack. I've never done the pay for anything outside of a stripper, sadly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there would be a bouncer in there. That's... I don't know. I've seen a lot of those TV shows, like...
Like
what Underworld.
What if you vehemently complain about the quality of your hand job?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. It's probably not regulated as well as it should be. I guess that's one of the
yeah,
problems.
I mean, but something, because guys are weird like that. Like, what if the chick
guys
pulls
guys like to complain?
Well, what if a chick pulls an Unforgiven and you, like, pull it out and it's just really small and she does the Three Little Maids, like,
oh,
laugh. And then, like, you lose it on them. Like, I'm not intimidated if it's just some old Asian lady like, you get out now.
Yeah. They have to have some backup
There has
plan.
To be some sort of muscle.
Maybe they have like, you know, some sort of weapons back there or something. But I don't know. I think, I mean, that world is kind of like risky on obviously on both sides.
I'm picturing
know?
Like the evil guy from the end of Enter the Dragon. And he like just unscrews his fake hand and puts on the bear claw fist and starts.
I mean, I've seen that movie, but that's a dated reference.
I grew up on that one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that and Shogun and Shaka Zulu.
All right.
Those three movies my dad would just obsessively watch the censored versions of on TBS.
Which one's the one with Chuck Norris? Is that...
That's Shogun. I mean, there's a lot of
no,
Chuck
Norris
movies.
And Bruce Lee.
Oh, god damn. I don't know. That's like... Oh, Big Boss maybe? No, that's a Chinese one. Christ, I don't know that one.
There you go.
Was that like a beardless Norris, like really early in his career?
Yeah, yeah. It was on Netflix. I was watching it a couple weeks ago.
If you want a good Chuck Norris film, Sidekicks, you'll thank me tomorrow.
Oh, no, I love that movie, dude. Dude, I remember seeing it in theaters. What was it, like 1993 or something?
Sidekicks was lay money. I'll go 92, but only because I'm piggybacking you. I'm prices riding your ass.
92, you're right.
There you go. You went over. Buy one.
What a good flick, man.
Oh, God, I had the kid from Sequest. I thought he was partnered with someone else. Yeah, he had the little weirdo from Sequest. What happened to that guy?
I love how we go from Asian massage parlors to Chuck Norris movies. It's obvious how we got here.
Both make you come. Jonathan Brandis.
I remember this dude.
That guy that dude has to be sitting in the Hollywood Hills right now trying to pull ass on any sort of social media he can.
Oh, wow. No, it says he died in 2003.
Whoa.
Age 27. Brutal.
No way. That guy killed himself like a mother. I guarantee you.
Yep. Good call.
What happened?
He hanged himself.
Oh, yeah. He had suicide written all over him.
Dude, that is such a bummer.
Oh, man.
What? Dude, this is like the saddest podcast we've ever done.
Wait till next week.
All right, you got some stuff lined up for me?
Yeah, I got some really great dead baby bits.
Like, here's what whenever I see things like this, all I can think about is what would his life be like if he were crazy famous, crazy popular during the internet Twitter era? You know what I mean?
Oh, so like he would have been the kid from Sequest with 1.2 million followers?
Yeah, and he would have, like, dude, it's, in my opinion, I mean, obviously, I don't know this firsthand, but in my opinion, it is way easier and way cooler to be a celebrity nowadays than it was back then, because, well,
it's amazing
actually, I guess it's
now.
A give and take, but now, like, you could, dude, he could have gone online and been like, hey, I'm really lonely, thinking about, you know, hanging myself,
yeah.
And chicks want to hang out, and you'd get a line.
How about you hang your balls down my throat, Johnny Cakes? Okay, maybe I'll kill myself tomorrow.
Right, yeah. But it totally changes the game, man. It's like, I don't know. Everything is accessible with the internet now, and his life.
No, it's so great. It's so great for celebrities. Are you kidding me? What the downside is, everyone can blast them on Twitter. You know what the upside is? You can DM any chick that follows you and be like, here is my address. Don't be weird. We're banging tonight.
Yeah, man. And, you know, maybe that would have saved him.
Do you know what hand expression is?
Right. Here, I got a couple of videos for you to watch. Take a couple minutes.
I saw some pictures of a kid that you recently had.
But, like, I was telling you before the show, Haley Joel Osment, the kid from Sixth Sense.
Yeah, and didn't they use him on Always Sunny, like, for one episode?
Because
That's what he's been reduced to. The kid from The Sixth Sense and AI a year later.
Well, first of all, have you seen him? Like, have you seen him recently?
He looks so weird.
He looks like a young Danny DeVito. Like, it's depressing.
Yeah, with longer legs, maybe. Give him that much.
But he's got, like, 12,000 followers on Twitter.
That's nothing.
He deserves so much more, man.
Bloggers bury him.
Right?
And he was the kid from Sixth Sense. Like, and some chick who, like, tweets makeup application tips is going to have, like, 244,000 and a deal with L'Oreal.
The rapper Riff Raff has 1.2 million followers. Nobody even knows,
Don't start me on how every musician has followers out the ass. I don't know what it is about Twitter that just, if you touch a Casio keyboard... You get 100,000 followers.
You think
like
it's I think it's just being popular now. Like,
no, I swear to Christ, if you look at the comparable, like if just fame were an abstract value, a musician with the same amount of fame as an actor or a comedian has 10 times the followers. I
really
do not get it. Yes.
Hmm.
Look at everyone who has the most followers.
Well, dude,
on Twitter.
It's
like your Lady Gaga's, as O&A would say.
I don't know, man. Ashton Kutcher was like the big
because he had a jump start on everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
He was using that to F 1/10 of his followership.
Yeah, he's got 16.7.
That's depressing. Still nothing.
How depressing is it to know that Tim Allen, Buzz Lightyear,
yes.
Santa Claus, everything, every great Home Improvement, every great memory from your childhood.
He had the number one show in the country for 46 years running.
Guess how many followers he has. This is going to be even more depressing.
127,000.
114,000 followers.
This
Twitter.
Man, I'm not exaggerating, in 1993, he could have murdered either Pam Anderson or the Tool Time girl that replaced her, and the bearded fatso who was his sidekick, and the network would have covered it up like nothing.
Legend. Legendary, man.
They would have been like, we're on a gravy train with biscuit wheels. Why are we going to let a little murder get in the way?
But he's not trending now. He's not the popular
dude
now.
He's nothing now. What is he doing? Jungle to Jungle 16?
I bet you there are like
straight to Netflix
ex Road Rules characters who have more followers than Tim Allen.
Yes. Yeah. Who was Puck? Is Puck still alive?
Puck.
Did he pull a Brandis?
I don't know who Puck is.
I think he was like a real world guy. I just know his name.
I know CT. That's the guy from Boston that all the girls go crazy for.
Really?
I guarantee you he has more followers.
Look
than
it up.
The official underscore 219,000 followers.
This guy's a nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Tim Allen, you know, reinvented the wheel, but he was a sitcom god for a long stretch of time.
He's got his promotional email up too. It's a Gmail account.
Oh, there's nothing worth. There, dude. I own my own business. Every time I give the address and then I'm like @gmail.com, you might as well say I am an unprofessional piece of S and there's a good chance I will break whatever I'm working on and will take your money and leave.
It says I'm not taking it that seriously. It's not that big of a deal to me. Yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. It's a crazy world. But, you know, I think the time is now. Like, dude, I just think about the people who are legendary musicians or legendary actors back in the day who weren't able to capitalize off of what the internet is now. And
the internet has so fundamentally changed some aspects of entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Breaking Bad and Mad Men. They're shows that everyone knows the name of.
Yep.
Hell, Mad Men's still going on for like one little final chunk of a season or whatever. They're pulling The Sopranos, breaking the last season into two halves. I feel they were 3 years ahead of their time. Just three effing years too soon to be huge, to be breakout. And I'll tell you why.
Breaking Bad was like 2 years ago.
They were just this far behind the curve, though. And what happened with both of them? How many years did you hear about Mad Men? How many years did you hear about Breaking Bad? If someone was like, do you know of the show? You're like, of course I do. I'm not an imbecile. Have you watched it? No. Why not? Well, I heard about it like halfway through season two, and I didn't want to play catch up. I didn't want to walk into this half-cocked. Like, I take my TV watching seriously. I am a fat, lazy American. It's what I do.
Yeah.
They didn't have their back catalogs released on Netflix until like season four, I think, for like each show.
Hmm.
And once those back catalogs came off, people were on those new episodes like white on rice.
That's true.
But Breaking Bad, like, again, you're talking its last two seasons, tops, were out after Netflix got rights to the back catalog. Mad Men, again, I think it's either two seasons, maybe three. Like, they just didn't get to reap the benefit the same way that Walking Dead did. Walking Dead had decent word of mouth too. And you know what happened to everyone who heard a good thing about Walking Dead? They went home, watched two seasons of it in the span of a weekend, and were able to get on like that.
Wait, so, I mean, that's not really social media though. That's just the way Netflix.
Yeah, but I'm saying social media or Netflix didn't catch up with the program until like 2009, 2010 in terms of streaming content.
Mm.
Like, Breaking Bad and Mad Men were around even when Netflix would allow you to get like a disc of them at a time.
Yeah.
But people are like, I'm not going to watch two goddamn episodes and then wait 3 days like a goon.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, you know, it's hard to say that Breaking Bad was late to any party because, you know, all you ever hear is how great of a show it was.
Yeah,
and
people
how it was
rave
the greatest
about
show
it.
Ever.
And like, how many people, when you ask them, what'd you think of season one? What'd you think of season two? It's like, oh, I only got into it when he was like really evil at the end.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, I got into it pretty late, but it was because I was just like stealing, episodes of it off
just downloading
one of those, like, Russian sites.
Yeah. I think I watched like a Serbian one.
Exactly.
I'm not even joking.
But dude, I mean, people say that's like the greatest show. People are still raving about
people
it.
Are
it's like
dumb.
Long gone. Yeah.
People are dumb.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Calm
Sopranos
down.
Dukes all over it. If there could have been a worse ending to Breaking Bad, I don't know how.
Wait, what? You're going to compare the ending to The Sopranos to yes. Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Dude, the ending to The Sopranos is like notoriously like one of the worst endings in TV history.
One of the all-time best. It's being dissected almost a decade
Dude,
later.
It's a joke. Oh my God. Wait, because people are like trying to figure out what happened?
Yes. There's a guy who's done like a thesis on what happened. I don't even care what he did, but that episode, I still remember everything about that last episode. Breaking Bad was so on the nose. Breaking Bad was just like, hey, remember every effing loose end from the last three seasons? This episode is Walt driving around frantically tying them up for you because you're a child and you need that in your life.
So it was literally like the antithesis to what
yes,
where The Sopranos did, which is they gave you absolutely nothing.
The Sopranos was just like, life is messy. It's open-ended. People went nuts that we didn't close some storylines. Guess what? We're not even really closing the last episode, and live with it. Live with it. We have a little faith in your intellectual capability. Breaking Bad was him driving around. Let's see. First of all, he kills everyone who wronged him.
Yeah.
But he has
Which
to die.
Which is what people want.
But he had to die in the end, too, because he did bad stuff. Boo-hoo-hoo. Oh. But he also finds time to talk to his bitch wife and say that she was right. But he also not only kills the white power guys, he stevias the evil broad who, you know, had a hand in the demise of everyone dear to him. What else was tied up? Like, dude, he set aside money for everyone. Oh, that's nice. They're not going to go poor after he dies.
I can't... Look, you can say what you want about the Breaking Bad ending, but the fact that you're defending the Sopranos ending
did I mention
is
there's a,
mind-blowing
There's
to
a
me.
Song that uses the word blue. That plays over the end. And the meth he made was blue. I'm so smart. I just connected that. Oh,
so you're
God.
Saying it was for simpletons.
It was an insult. It was an effing insult. Oh, and the innocent little blonde boy, he gets a second lease on life. He drives away going, yeah, bitch, or something like that.
Well, what if the, I forget what the writer's name was.
Vince Gilligan.
What if he saw the reaction that people, that the ending to The Sopranos gave people and wanted a different experience for the viewer? What if he wanted some closure? He wanted people to feel satisfied at the end of the series. I mean, dude, like I said, the fact that you're defending The Sopranos ending is crazy because it's internationally panned. People, when they talk about a show's
people
ending and
lost their minds with that
in
last
a bad
one.
Way though.
But at least you felt something, I guess. I don't know. That's a dumb argument. That's like
that
saying
they felt something.
Yeah, like I could walk outside and just like punch you in the back of the skull. You'd be like, why? And I'd be like, I wanted you to feel.
Come on, man. You gotta live.
That sounds like an S&M thing. Like a chick who cuts the insides of her thighs. They just need to feel something.
Yeah, right. The endings, I mean, I see what you're saying. It's like you're comparing dumb action flick ending to I don't know, like indie cult Donnie Darko type ending, you know, like it's one that gave you nothing or not nothing, but left a lot of question marks and loose ends. And another one that literally wrapped up every single element of the story that was brought up.
Okay. I think one of the reasons I have such a fond memory of the Sopranos thing is for 2 to 3 days afterward. Again, my memory is hazy, but
here
it
comes.
My God,
here comes the truth.
My God blessed Don and Mike show. They would simply talk to callers and then play Journey's Don't Stop Believing and go silent for 5 seconds. And it was just a running gag.
That is pretty funny. That's pretty good.
Like, they would just be in the middle of the segment and you'd hear, don't stop. And then they just go to dead air for 10 seconds.
That's awesome, man. That's pretty cool.
I mean, it's just, okay, the power.
So you're relating that bit, which is a play off of a terrible ending. And because of it,
it was just,
you look back fondly on it.
I found it just gutsy and bald. Like, I think people wouldn't have had nearly the problem they did with that episode if it went to black and, like, immediately went to the credits. What tripped up people who saw it live was it went to black. You're, don't stop. And Tony's fat pig head looks up. And it goes to black. And then it was like 15 seconds of black or something. And you're like, holy F, did my set cut out?
Right,
and everyone lost their mind and they felt duped by that. And they felt tricked and manipulated and like it was cheesy. I swear to God, if you just heard, don't stop. And again, he goes and looks up from his gabagool. and then it immediately, it's black for like 2 seconds and then goes to credits, people would have been fine.
Yeah.
They would have been like, well, that was intense and ambiguous, but the first time you watched
it, got too greedy with it.
The tension was so palpable for that final scene because you're like, I know this is like a 59-hour, 2-minute episode. And it's like, you know, right at the end, you're like, we don't have much left. And then, like, he puts on dun, doo, 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 and you hear The Journey. And then, like, Meadow, because she's a woman, can't parallel park the car. And, like, they're cutting between, like, all these different people you're seeing in the diner. The first time you watch that, your heart is in your throat.
Yeah.
I mean, like, holy God, he's going to get killed. Like, you were just like, get out of the episode alive, dude, please. Like, we got 1 minute left. Don't die, you fat bastard. And then that happened, and it was just such a weird feeling, but I remember it. I remember every inch of that episode, man.
Yeah.
Leotardo dying? That was the funniest scene on earth.
Would you have not remembered it or looked back fondly on it if, you know, it pulled a Breaking Bad and wrapped up every single side of the story? Like, that's what I'm struggling with.
I mean, okay,
some people can look at that and say, hey, that was like lazy writing. That was them not knowing how to end it, not wanting to take the story any direction, so just leaving it as is.
Well, I mean, would it have been better if we see Tony and like the fuzz is on him and he just takes like $3 million in cash and a couple of his gumars and throws them on a cigarette boat and then he's like just flying it to Cuba? Jetting in the waters.
Would that have been better?
Yeah, and he's just laughing and throwing hundreds in the air.
Dude, but that's part of every story needs
AJ
to have like an ending
from the shore.
Like, dude, look at the greatest. look at the like Silence of the Lambs. I just watched that the other weekend. Like again. The ending is like awesome, dude. Like it's you see what happens to Hannibal Lecter. Like he's,
well, if I recall.
He's like calls Clarice.
Yeah, and he's
from like Cuba or something.
Yeah, it's some third world asshole.
Yeah, and he's just like, I'm just hanging out. Don't worry, I'm not gonna come murder you or whatever. But yeah. I mean, like that dude. People like that's part of storytelling. Like there has to be some sort of.
I feel there's a different value applied to a show than a movie. That movie, you've spent 2 hours with, maybe 3 hours if it's the Jesus movie that Mel Gibson did 10 years ago.
Yeah, Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. Like
I didn't watch that. You watched that?
No. Okay. It was on HBO for a time, and it was just like I'd randomly flip through and I'm like, oh, here's the scene where Jesus is getting the snot beat out of him.
Right, yeah.
And then you flip away.
No, I'm good.
I feel that has a much different expectation and value placed upon it than a show that I've spent close to 100 hours with, dude. Like, they have developed a world and developed a character in a way that no movie can hope to. A movie has 1/40th the screen time that this has. Even a sprawling epic like The Godfather is a drop of piss in the bucket compared to the runtime of The Sopranos.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel to be like you need this clean ending that it isn't expected, or you shouldn't feel the need for it after 90 hours of content. Like, if you didn't get what you were going to get out of those 90 effing hours, what did you want out of the last 5 minutes?
Right.
For God's sake, don't be greedy. Obviously, you missed the point of it to begin with.
Yeah, I see. I mean,
like
and,
a movie.
And the truth of the matter is, people, you know, think about all the great TV series finales like Seinfeld or whatever, people are always going to have a problem.
Panned.
Yeah, people are always going to complain and have an issue with something. I mean,
I
me
didn't
personally,
hate it, by the way.
Me neither.
Dude, maybe I'm just dumb when it comes to endings. I was like, what did you want from it? Did you want like Jerry and Elaine to get together?
Well, it kind of did the exact same thing that you're saying Breaking Bad did, where it like brought characters back and
Better Call Saul, you mean?
No. The fact that it like
how it wrapped up all but it was like. It was in a goof way. It's a comedy. So I can understand why they're doing like the it's a mad, 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 mad world thing where it's like, here's everyone from the world we've created.
Right.
And it's a joke. Like, remember the black lawyer
but
guy?
I don't think the ending to Breaking Bad seemed forced. Did it seem forced to you? I mean, I'll be honest. It was like kind of cliche sometimes and a little bit obvious. But I don't know. They seem to play it off well. I feel like that's part of... that's part of the story is like, you got to like, as a writer, you have to figure out a way to seamlessly wrap this up. Like it has to.
Sorry. I just realized I had 10 missed calls and 6 voicemails from my psycho mom.
Dang.
Yeah, that's fun. And my brother.
Uh-oh.
Because she got to him.
You all right? Everything cool? Or does this happen a lot?
She thinks I was raped and murdered and then was contacting the brother to get on my ass about contacting her.
About being raped and murdered.
Because I haven't been in contact with her for 3 hours.
You are...
I need to kill my mom. Oh, wait, was that not where you're taking that? Okay.
Are you going to call her on air right now?
Hell no. I texted her and told her to F off and, you know, we're done with it.
Dang. That's quite an ending to this podcast.
It doesn't have to be. We wrapped it up. Had her fun.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And by that, I mean she's probably crying hysterically. And
dude, I don't want your mom to be depressed. I don't want to be part of the reason.
She just needs to confirm that I'm alive, because if she hasn't heard from me in 4 hours, I'm obviously dead.
Yeah,
I mean,
but somebody could like be texting from your phone right now.
That's true.
It could be a Moroccan co-host on a show.
Yeah.
In a public access radio station.
I will say I am the man of color that... killed and your baby boy.
Yeah, don't make any
and stole his phone. Give me 1 second. Gotta type out those profanities.
I was gonna make an ISIS joke, but it depresses me too much.
She just texted back, "Your phone was off."
Here's proof that it's not. Screenshot of 10 missed calls and 6 voicemails.
I'm replying with no effing S. I'm recording.
Dude, I told you.
You.
2 weeks ago.
Psycho. Which was corrected to Peho for some reason by my phone.
The only way to fix that, the nasal strip, the sleep apnea machine of having your mom being obsessive texting you nonstop, is to no longer give her the reaction that she's looking for. I figured that out like 2 years ago with my psycho Moroccan mom, who used to blow up my spot like nonstop and always scream at me for nothing. And I...
You worked it up and you gave her 5 across the eyes finally?
Yeah, dude, that's all it takes. No, I'm kidding. Nice. The solution was to not give her that reaction anymore. So she'd like, "That's a man. Where are you? Why haven't you texted me yet today?" And I used to be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mama. I was, you know."
Well, I definitely didn't do the "I'm sorry," but like when it gets to the point she's bugging my brother about it, I feel bad. Because
why? It's your brother. Like he should have to deal with some of it too. Dude, our friend Blue Shorts does this exact same thing. I've heard his mom call him. She will...
He's like really white. I thought they didn't care about their kids. I had a really white boss once, and she was just like, "I told my daughter when she left at age 18, she was never coming back to this house." Like, wow, okay.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
His mom will like call him and just scream it. I would hear it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know if she was drunk or what, but she's just like, I'm kind of putting him on the spot here. But blowing him up. But she would like call him nonstop and just say like mean things like that were completely out of left field, like for no reason. And he would like always pick up the phone and just talk to her and like try to talk her off the ledge and all this stuff. And I was like, "Dude, don't you have a sister? Like, what does she call your sister?" He's like, "Nah, she doesn't put up with it." I'm like, "Dude, that's why she calls you."
Well, I don't view that as putting up with it. I just looked at my phone after an hour and a half and I literally 10 missed calls.
Yeah. I mean, but the 10 missed calls, though, that tells me that she expects you to like call her back immediately, like right away. Like,
is that
something that's standard? Her
like every few hours, like I'll just get an annoying call.
And
she doesn't care that half the time I'm driving to some sort of job and answering the phone to look down even that second puts your life in danger for a bit. So she's actually making my life less safe.
Right.
I haven't done this bit in a while. Let's see what treasures she left on the voicemail.
Oh God.
Because we do have 2 of them. I deleted them, but let's hold on. We'll put it on.
I'm kind of like scared and excited.
Come on, talk.
"Hi, honey. Please call me. Bye."
Whoa, is she crying right there, dude?
She was crying.
Oh no.
And then that was the first one. So there's a second one where she's even less composed. Man.
"Please call me. Please, Mom."
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mama Giorgio.
Yeah.
What is going on, dude?
Yeah, given that was my mom, what chance did I have?
at life.
What chance did I have?
You turned out all right,
I'm
man.
The best me I could have been.
Nah, dude, you're... But, like I said, what blows my mind is the fact that your brother doesn't have to put up with it. Like, that seems unfair to me.
No, she... Are you kidding me? I get it all the time where she's like, John, I haven't heard from Will all day. Will you call him? And I just say, F no.
Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this. I'm not putting up with it.
No, I threatened to block her cell a couple weeks ago because she was just texting me.
Oh, really?
And going nuts with it. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. If you give me this BS one more time, you won't be able to call me in case of a real emergency.
That sucks that she, like, lives her life with that much, like, stress and concern. You know what
I
mean?
It's what gets her wet.
Yeah.
Her old women, that's what gets
that's what
their heart pumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all dead down there. And they're like, I used to like my pulse racing, and they instead just worry.
That's their adrenaline rush.
Yeah, exactly. That's
worrying if you're alive or dead.
That is their rock climbing, their bungee jumping.
That's not fair though. Like that's if that's truly what you think it is.
It is so the opposite of fair.
Yeah, right. So if that's really what it is, like let's just say that's 100% the reason she does this, then that is like
it's
super selfish.
It's because her wiring is screwed up, and she does not give an iota of one F to fix it.
Yeah.
It's just like a drunk who's completely cognizant of the fact they're a horrible drunk, and the thought of AA is a million miles away. It's never even been entertained. People scream it in their drunk face, and they'll say just F you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the intervention would be...
Just a brick to the brainstem. No. When they're over 70, you just put them down.
The ultimatum that you would give her in the intervention is that you will block her number or you won't answer these calls anymore.
It'll get to that point, but she'll find whatever device she can. She'll start emailing. And then because the emails aren't getting answered fast enough.
Dude, that's nuts.
I can't win.
That sucks. But like, I almost want to like try a... just try and experiment out with you just to see what happens if for whatever reason you don't call her back, you don't text her back for like a week, but you show up at the house, you know, you're healthy young boy, you still surviving, going to work every day, you just are not going to be a slave to her phone calls and texts. I wonder like how she would react to that if you were doing it.
Thank you
for
viewing it for what it is, by the way, because some people are like, she's just concerned. No, she's a horrible anxiety disorder. And goes off the rails. This is a woman I spoke to as of maybe at worst 4:30 p.m. today, and it's 9:40 right now.
Jeez.
You're talking not even a quarter of a day.
Has there ever been a period in your relationship where you...
And that's what it is. She's my goddamn old wife at this point.
Where you weren't talking to her multiple times a day?
When I lived on my own, she would probably send like one email to my work address. And just be like, hi, just saying hi, or something like that. Mm. And I'd have to be like, hey, you know how you found me at my work address? It's because I'm working.
Yeah, all right.
F off.
All right. I'm okay. I'm just here
at
the office. My mom, when I first went to college, she was like, you have to call me at least twice a day.
Yeah. Your mother, Saddam Hussein.
My mom, Jafar. Yeah. And I was like, man, like, I thought this was like... my time to fly the coop,
no,
you know?
No, not with women like that.
But no, dude, like, eventually, like, there came a point where I would sometimes forget slash not really think to call her, and she would be pissed at me for days on end. But eventually, it got to a point where it wasn't something she expected and required every day because she just came to the realization that her son wasn't that responsible, you know what I mean? And that I was going to be okay. She probably thinks in her mind still, for whatever reason, even though you're however old you are, that you're a fragile little boy out in the dangerous world and somebody's, you know, going to kidnap you or you're going to go into some stranger's van with candy.
I mean, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it does. Butterfingers.
Yeah. So good. It is a thought process. The whole anxiety thing, it's something that, like, I got through when I was so young. Like, this is a... I don't know if I've ever talked about this on air. There was a time from about fifth grade, sixth grade through seventh grade, where I was like a compulsive hand washer. Like, she has the OCD thing. She's crazy about numbers and stuff. Like, you just heard the tip of the iceberg, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like obsessed with like, oh, I'm going to like touch the wrong thing in my school. I'll get AIDS.
Whoa.
And like, I just washed my hands until they were like all red and dry. I was like one of those nut bars for like a year. And one day I was just like, dude, it was going to, like, every other asshole around you is fine. They're a thousand times dirtier than you.
You might have to mark that. For,
oh, the AH? What a, dude, we're already 90 yeah. minutes yeah, deep yeah. in the episode. They would have clipped us long ago.
Yeah.
Everyone else is living filthy lives. What are you worried about? Like, somehow logic was able to prevail over just dumb, miswired, incorrectly wired instinct. You know, whatever stupid, effed up synapse was in my head, I was able to just be smart about it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just happens. Like, I don't know if it's an experience, a particular experience that makes you change your ways or what. But
I hate people that don't have that aha moment, as it is obnoxiously called.
Well, I don't think it's there. I mean, I don't know. You know, we're just.
Well, okay.
Neither of us know, but I don't know if it's in their power, in their control to have that moment.
Maybe, but if you were told point blank that you engaged in a behavior that everyone around you abhorred, would you not try to knock it off?
Yeah, definitely.
I have never seen an ounce of effort out of her regarding that. She could not effing care less about everything she does that we hate.
Yeah, yeah.
She could not care less.
That sucks. I mean, I feel like...
Because for someone who says they do all this out of love, it seems like the biggest F you.
Mm-hmm. It's just it's effing like, with your life.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to keep doing what I want to do.
Yeah, right, yeah. I'm not even going to really try what you want me to do.
Yeah. And frankly, you're being a prick for making me feel bad
yeah.
about what I do.
That sucks, man. I mean, again, like I feel like some people are just like, they don't have it in their mental capacity to put themselves in your situation.
They gotta empathize.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there have definitely been things that I have tried to like fix about myself and my personality since I was like a little kid. And some of them, like, I've gotten better at, and other things, like, I'm still trying to work on. But I'm definitely aware of the way I am and how it affects people around me, you know? It's just, it feels like it's human nature to us just because, like, we naturally think that way. But I have no, like, who knows how your mom actually thinks? Like, she probably can't even fathom that what you were telling her is actually legitimate.
Yeah, or... She's probably coming from it from the perspective of just like, who would ever, because her mom neglected her. Like, what she's described her childhood as is my wet dream. A okay. mom who, like, when you were sad, just bought you presents and stayed out of your hair and would take you out of school for shopping trips. I'm like, if I were 12.
It was horrible.
dude, yeah. And she's like, all I wanted was someone who could empathize and respected that I read books. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, I wanted that Neo Geo when I was 12, and it was $700, and she would have bought it for me. Yeah. She sounds like the tits.
I just wanted a Gigapet.
That's exactly.
I mean, it's probably because she's a girl and you're a guy, you know? And
I guess, I know if I have kids, we'll have to wrap up in a minute, but I got kids, I'll neglect the hell out of them. I'll just be like, go out there.
I can't wait. I can't wait to just let them do their thing.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, it's not our places as fathers to be overly overbearing and emotional.
It's so quay. It's so queer.
I didn't say it.
It's not gay bashing. It's just so, if you're the dad fussing and mussing over your kid, good Lord.
Yeah.
You just pop a dick in his mouth right there.
You're supposed to be bad cop. And mom is supposed to be good cop.
Yeah, the one that shields the kids from your enraged beatings.
Yeah, your drunken rage.
Yeah.
What?
you had that too?
No.
My dad didn't drink. He didn't need the drink to be enraged.
I didn't have a dad.
Imagine coming home to that.
Oh, God, dude. dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing, man. I don't know why you're not sleeping in your car right now.
Dying on the inside.
Or like hiding in a closet over here. You'll be all right, man.
No, she'll be fine. Her stress was released. She had her okay orgasm. Everyone's okay, so I can my fear jizz.
The dopamine just rushes to her brains when she hears you say you're all right.
It is so following an orgasmic crescendo structure is disgusting.
That's
like
gross.
The more she has to worry, it's like a chick who knows how to give like head that lasts an hour, and by the end of it you're like, I'm going to, like, it's going to shoot out of my effing eyeballs if she doesn't get me to pop. And then you finally do and you knock out a front tooth of hers and you're like, that's the best blowjob I ever had.
She's just edging all night. Okay. waiting
what I gave her was the best fear edging she's had in a year.
Damn, man, you're a good son.
Oh, she's gonna, I'm gonna come home, that bitch will have a cigarette in her mouth and she'll be fanning herself.
What sucks to me about this whole thing is the fact that
that it's real and I live with it.
No, that like when I leave here, I'm just gonna go back home and I'm probably just gonna like watch TV. You have to go home and like probably talk to her and
Yes, and I don't know. There probably won't be much talk. Like, as soon as the fear is quelled, she goes back to being as normal as she can be.
Okay, so she's not going to be like, so what happened to you tonight?
No, I'll probably skate, and I'll tell you this much. If I walk in on the warpath, I'll be the asshole.
Oh.
I'll be the asshole.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Living that good life, son.
Yeah. Let me get home to it, and we'll play that sweet outro music, the new outro music. There we go. The MP3 is called Possessive, and yet it comes up as The Thief. It's my brother's old band, Gray Sky Eternal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was just like, what is something that would work as an outro song? And he gave me this. Well, I don't know if it's the best outro song, but I'm not going to have to pay royalties for it because I know the writer. So there you go. All right, folks, this was Papa's Basement. I am John Papa Giorgio. I was joined by Othello Bukhareb, however you pronounce
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, man, you always kill on here. Both times you've been here, you've killed.
I don't know if that's true, but I appreciate you saying that. I'm lying to my face like that. Very nice of you.
Show site is inpapasbasement.com. Please use the podcast app on any iDevice you have to subscribe to the show and rate us. And I will put a link in this episode on the In Papa's Basement site explaining how to rate us, because you need the instructions to figure it out. It's that complex.
And what do you get? What's the prize again?
We both follow you.
Two followers.
And please don't make me DM you a picture of my tits
and
with
a DM
smiley faces on it.
Of John Papa George's tits.
I'm going to do what chicks with saggy boobs do and pull them taut from above and so they'll look perky.
It's a good idea, but how do you take a picture if you're holding them both up?
You do, again, the fat chick move. You put one forearm across them, tug them both up.
Oh, yeah.
You'll still be able to see that my nipples look like teepees, so my weight will be given away. But there you go. At Papa's Basement on Twitter for me, at OthelloBT on Twitter for Othello. But again, you can get those sweet follows. We even won't mute you. How's that? We even won't immediately mute you.
A couple retweets and favorites here and there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Those are nuts. Then they'll realize we did mute them. Last but not least, I guess, the SpookiesComic.com is a comic I do with a buddy of mine. Check out that site. And, oh, yeah, everyone loves it when I say this. And by everyone, I again mean one listener, Atlantic Triangle, who brought it up. You can also use Stitcher if you're a Droid user, and anyone with a Droid is poor or a nerd.
Foreign. Yep.
Immigrant or foreign. I don't know which one I want to go with there, because I don't know if it is a foreign thing. Maybe I just mean they're an immigrant who came over.
I mean, I'm both, and I'm offended by both equally, so I don't know. Whatever works for you.
That's all I wanted to hear. All right, folks. Till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.